Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world.
Hey, what's up everybody? Welcome back to Unpacking Design with Mike and Tim. Tim, I have an exciting topic today.
What is it?
So, we're going to be talking about a book, and we're also going to be talking about the person who wrote that book.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's going to probably go into a discussion more about the person, but mm-hmm. the book is where I want to start because it's influenced a lot of who I am today, and also I think it's a very important resource for an entrepreneurial designer.
Mm-hmm.
The book is Crush It.
Gary Vaynerchuk?
Mm-hmm.
The first one or Still Crushing It or whatever the newer one is?
we're going to talk about the original old school.
Okay.
Crush It. So for anybody who's not aware of Crush It or who Gary Vaynerchuk is, I mean, you'd probably agree, Tim, Gary's a character.
Mm-hmm.
Gary is larger than life, sort of. I think he's created a persona around himself, but basically he is an entrepreneur who has created podcasts and videos and he's like a 4 or 5 time New York Times bestseller with his books, and Crush It is where he started this whole thing. It seems like his whole persona. He grew up as an entrepreneur, took his father's business in the wine industry from some ridiculous amount, from like $3 to $60 million. You know, I'm not going to bore you, Tim, with the whole story. The point is he's an entrepreneur and he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to bring this up as something to discuss is because I want to talk about the importance of being an entrepreneur in sort of this way of life as being a designer. Because I think one of the things that we get away from a lot is knowing when to pursue design as just a passion and pursuing design that is also something that can be fruitful from a business standpoint or from an entrepreneur's standpoint, where you're getting paid for the work that you're doing on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the first question I want to ask you before we even get into the book is, because I know that this is a topic that you're really interested in anyway, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up, because I feel like there's going to be a really dynamic discussion, is what does being an entrepreneur mean to you, and how has Gary Vaynerchuk's work either affected or not affected that?
Well, being an entrepreneur for me is just being willing to take a risk or a chance in investing your time and your resources into whatever ideas you've had. Mm-hmm. So it can be anything from having a retail company to a bakery to a design firm or whatever else. It can also be starting a not-for-profit. And a lot of people don't think of that as entrepreneurship, but that is entrepreneurship as well. And so it's just taking an idea that you had and really putting your time and energy into it to make it real and to make it into something and to test that idea, whether it fails or succeeds. Having the will to do that, I think, is what an entrepreneur should always have. And so Gary Vaynerchuk's work has influenced me in a sense that reading Crushing It showed me a lot of the ways that social media and other things can be used to leverage your reach online and in other communities. But also the biggest thing that I've learned from Gary is to always be honest about everything you're doing and to stay true to yourself. Yep. Don't try and create this persona that's not you, because one day it'll come back to bite you. And the reason for that is if you're making yourself out to be an expert or a life coach, which is what a lot of people are doing today, then what are you really a life coach in if you haven't done that thing yet?
Sure.
You know, like one of the things that I'm seeing, and this is just a quick rant, is that there are a lot of younger people that are my age or even younger, you know, 18 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old, who's professing themselves as being a life coach in business, but they've never started a business. or being a life coach in motivational speaking. How are you a motivational speaker, life coach? Like, yep. This just doesn't make sense. So finding the right thing for you and really putting your all into it, I think, is what Gary Vaynerchuk and his book Crushing It has helped me with over time. It's helped me identify those things that I truly enjoy doing in my life and to really just be myself and not care about what other people might think of that, and to also never try and pretend to be anyone that I'm not.
Yeah, I think the reason why this book in particular is such a seminal kind of text for a lot of people, especially today, is that this is, it was released in 2009, mm-hmm. so we're coming up on almost 10 years that this book has been out, and Crush It has just an energy behind it that mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have taken on over the last 8 to 10 years, that as the internet has been growing with entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs, as Gary has put it, has become more of a positive thing and become more of like a cool thing to be an entrepreneur is a really great thing, you mm-hmm. know, for a lot of people, and a lot of people are very proud that they are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Not that this was like predicting the future in a lot of ways, but in some ways it was, in that, like you said, you have to be more real about what the kinds of things that you're putting out into the world and the yeah. kinds of things that you are creating and who you are sort of marketing yourself as should be the full version of you, you know, trying to hide a lot of the things that you are and creating a persona that is false to who you are. People can see through that now. And I think especially yeah. because we've gone through this sort of renaissance of technology and of the internet in general, the internet is becoming a completely different thing than it was 15 years ago. It's becoming something that is almost as integral to our lives as television or getting news or our communication systems in general. Yeah. And I think that while this book, like I said, isn't predicting that that would happen, it is laying down sort of these ground rules for how a person might want to pursue their passions in mm-hmm. in an internet world, in a world where there are a lot more opportunities that the internet provides. And Crush It is a mentality of bringing hustle and energy to whatever you're passionate about, whether it's design or business or something completely different, and just going 100% into that. Mm-hmm. And while other books that he writes later kind of deal with other things, I feel like, and other nuances, Crush It is important to me in particular as a designer, because it was this moment, especially when I was trying to get my architecture license, where it was like the only book I read mm-hmm. when I was actually trying to get my license. This was like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I read it because somebody had recommended it to me, and it connected with me on such a level that I had never read or heard anybody say things about how to kind of operate in the world in the way that Gary had. And I felt like it was his interpretation of how to sort of completely go in 1,000% over what you're passionate about was just something that was revelatory to me, and mm-hmm. something that has shaped sort of the direction of how I have gotten from there to even pursuing an endeavor like this, like Unpacking Design, and mm-hmm. and putting myself out there with you and saying, these are my opinions, these are my ideas, I'm really passionate about this podcast, and just having these kinds of conversations, you know, in a similar way that I think is very true to myself and true to who I want to be and who I want people to see me as. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are, you know, if I just open this up real quick, because I do physically have the book in front of us. I mean,
yeah,
this is the audio podcast, so I have to describe something.
Why don't you read through the table of contents just in terms of the chapters?
Yeah, so the table of contents starts with the first chapter is passion is everything. The next chapter, success is in your DNA. 3, build your personal brand. A whole new world. Create great content. Choose your platform. Keep it real, very real. Create community. The best marketing strategy ever, which I'll get back to in a second. Make the world listen. Start monetizing. Roll with it. Legacy is greater than currency. So this really does speak to a lot of the things that he's still dealing with now. And he's been on the internet doing YouTube and Facebook and podcasting and all that stuff since before this even came out. And I think the thing that is really interesting to me is, you know, if you read this book again, it's not like he's saying anything different than he was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he really believes in it. And just that fact alone is inspiring, because it makes me believe that what he's talking about is what he really believes in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said about that. The one thing that I do think really does come through is this one chapter, the best marketing strategy ever, which is chapter 9. It's the one that which I thought made a lot of sense to me, because you open it, it's on the right side of the page, and you flip the page and it's literally one word, and the one word is care.
Yeah.
And it's in big bold letters. It's formatted in a way that it's just, that's all you need to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the best way to market yourself and to promote yourself as a person in this kind of new undiscovered sort of world that we live in. And that alone, that chapter for me has struck a chord, because when I saw that, I thought, wow, that's bold. That's mm-hmm. kind of badass. That's like that's
a chapter of one word.
Yeah. That's like, oh wow. Like, I don't know if I would have even been able to do that.
Yeah.
But I came back to the idea of, like, that's really important in just in terms of how we interact with each other and how we, you know, as a creative, as a designer, I think sometimes we get lost in I get lost in my own world sometimes. I get lost in my own world of design and just wanting to, like, and you know this, Tim, like, I'll just design something forever and just until it's perfect for me and not necessarily care about anything else that's a factor in the world.
Yeah.
And seeing that chapter, I think, struck a chord with me in the sense that it's, even though it's one word, I interpreted it as more than that, where you're not just worried about the problem at hand, but you're worried about the impact that you'll have on not only the people that are affected by your immediate design, but how you promote yourself or what kind of content you put out in the world or creative endeavors reflect on who you are as a person for so many other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm maybe rambling a little bit now about about Crush It, but in terms of how maybe either this book has affected you, or you were saying earlier how Gary Vaynerchuk's work in general has affected you, I mean, how important do you think it is for a creator to sort of get outside of themselves and worry less about the product but how it affects other people?
I think it's very important, because at the end of the day, once you release your product, it's being used by others. You're not always being the user anymore. You might be resolving issues with it, but, you know, let's say you're an architect like us and you design a building that's supposed to be a hospital for children.
Yep.
And you're designing this thing, but you don't even think about the children. It's just right. Like, you know what? Right. This is going to be a hospital. We're just going to have counters that are designed like every other hospital, very nice and pristine. And then you think, oh, I'm just going to design this hospital to be the most high-end one in the world. And you forget about the children.
Yeah.
Well, now the children come in and they're in this institutional setting full of white walls and marble countertops or whatever you choose, quartz, so that you can't get bacteria in it.
Right.
And then it's just this, like, very modern, elegant design, and these children come in. Again, right. The children are just going to feel out of place, right? Yes. And if, instead, if you put yourselves in the mindset of a child and you say, well, as a child, there should be more of a playful design to this entire hospital. There should be colors. It should be color-coded. The material should be softer. Even the heights of the counter should be lower so that a child can actually see over a counter.
Yeah.
The height of furniture is very important. And even things like the bathrooms. How do you design a bathroom? Because if a child's too young to use it on their own, you need their parents with them. So it's very important to think about the end user, even as a graphic designer. When you're designing a logo, it's not for yourself.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, whoever you're designing it for is going to put it out there in the world.
Sure.
Like if American Airlines had this one logo that everyone hated and they had to use it for 10 years, right? It would make you as a designer look bad, but it would make that company stand out a lot less.
Yeah.
And it's a very big thing to always be able to put yourself in the shoes of your client, to understand what is it that they're looking for at the end of the day, and then to provide that, you know, and to provide it at the best level that you can.
Yeah, I think that speaks to a lot of what he talks about now or recently about legacy and mm-hmm. how he's thinking always in terms of the long term. And I believe him because of what I said before, where he's saying very similar things to what he had said 10 years ago because mm-hmm. he believes in them.
Yeah.
And those qualities sort of follow him onward. I think the same thing that we're seeing, I don't want this to become a political conversation really, but just to very briefly talk about the Me Too movement and, mm-hmm. and the kind of disruption that's happening in our society right now, where these people who have done really bad things to other people mm-hmm. in their past lives, like it's coming out. Like mm-hmm. even if that is your only thing that you take away from today, like, and the discussion that we're having, like the way that people see you, especially now where nothing is really hidden, mm-hmm. is an important thing, even just to reflect upon that. Anything that you put out there, and I don't mean this to be like scary or big brother conversation, mm-hmm. but like if you put something out there, it could follow you for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, we're seeing repercussions everywhere where somebody who was beloved for decades, Bill Cosby, is now like a monster. You
right.
know, like, and that's his legacy. That's what he's brought out in the world.
Yeah. And aside from the Me Too movement, there are other things too. The fact that social media just travels so quickly is instantaneous.
Yeah.
And the way that it can ruin a career or that it can really harm the person who, you know, put something out there. An example is, I believe, is Logan Paul from mm-hmm. YouTube and how he went through a Japanese forest that's known for people who commit suicide right. and to have put that on film and to have done what he did, for that to come to light and then YouTube to shut his account off and for everyone in society to know that this happened
yeah.
within a few hours. It's interesting how quickly information travels now in our world today and that we're the controllers of that. And
right.
it's also prevalent in the whole Facebook talk about privacy.
Yep.
We have the choice to not have a Facebook account. And the fact that we're blaming Facebook for sharing all of this information that we're willingly putting on the platform
sure.
is also another debate that we can have. But at the end of the day, I think Gary's whole talk about how you portray yourself online and the legacy that's left behind based on the breadcrumbs that you're leaving
yep.
is very important to understand.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I think, again, this is not supposed to be some sort of text that was telling the future, but, you know, when one of the chapters is called Legacy Over Currency,
yeah.
and meaning that your long-term gains and your long-term perception is much more important in a lot of ways than your short-term, like getting the quick buck or getting
yeah.
the quick payment at the expense of your legacy, is a really important lesson for anybody, and especially I think designers to kind of latch on to, because the way that you portray yourself as a person is just as important as the work that you literally put out there. And I think, you know, sometimes we want to abstract the work into what people think of us as creatives and as designers, but it's, you know, people don't work with designs. They work with other people. They work with designers.
Right.
They work with another human being to collaborate on, and then ultimately you end up at a design or you end up at some sort of creative project, but a person talks to a person who then goes and creates something. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like, you know, in the example that you had where you're designing a hospital, but you're not thinking about the children.
Yeah, children's hospital without thinking about kids.
You know, you would have a good version of that would be where you are going and talking to the hospital staff, or you're talking to, maybe you're not directly talking to sick kids, but you're talking to the medical staff, the nurses, the doctors who on a day-to-day basis see what these kids go through or what they need in terms of their recovery spaces or mm-hmm. their recovery times or whatever. Having that extra level of care, again, to work with the people who will end up using your design, whether it's architecture, whether it's a car, whether it's a graphic design, whether it's something that is a creation from your imagination or your design sensibility, having those conversations and getting that information is so important. Because if you were just to walk around and, let's say, you know, create children's hospitals without thinking about the children,
yeah,
after a while you'd be known as that guy or that person who is just doing that and doesn't care about people. And then, you know, you do that too many times and you're not going to get more work because people recognize you as that person,
right?
As that person who doesn't care about anyone else and is only about themselves or is only like in their thought bubble of their own creation.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about how caring and legacy and how that works with, I don't know, the lesson of Crush It. But the other thing I want to talk about that we've hinted at a couple other conversations is the hustle
mm-hmm.
and how that, I mean, literally when the title of a book is called Crush It, it's all in like capitalized letters and there's an exclamation yeah. point at the end. I mean, that's a very intense title for a book.
Yeah.
And I think it's tough to put my finger on it, but what do you think is the balance in some ways? And I know this is a very broad topic, mm-hmm. so go with it wherever you want to go. What do you think is the balance between pursuing your passions and hustling? And hustling to the point that maybe like a Gary Vaynerchuk suggests that you should in terms of how you get to your goals?
Yeah, well, I guess first of all, how do you interpret the hustle side of things?
So
what does that mean to you?
I think if I was going to interpret hustle, I would say that he's saying that you should go, you know, 1,000% into whatever the topic or the thing that you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
and that's one part of it. So you should decide on whatever you're passionate about
mm-hmm.
and pursue that completely. And then the other part is that in order to make it work and to make an impact in the world, that you need to not necessarily run yourself ragged, but I think a lot of people might interpret it that way,
mm-hmm.
as you need to push yourself really, really hard in order to make your dreams come true or make your whatever. Like all the tools are out there, all the possibilities out there,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to necessarily achieve all of the goals that you want for that passion unless you push yourself like really, really hard.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, because when you think about balancing those two things, it's always very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're passionate about something, you always want to pursue it. And then how do you push yourself to the furthest extent possible,
yep.
you know, and what does that look like to regular people? One of the things that Gary Vaynerchuk says a lot is when you think about people who work a 9-to-5, they yep. get out at 5 o'clock, right? And then if they really wanted to pursue something of their own, and they're the type of people who don't like where they are, or they really want to be doing something else with their life, within the time frame from the moment you get home at 5 p.m., you can spend 2 hours with your kids, your family, or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you got until 7 p.m. until 2 a.m. to work
right.
on whatever it is you're trying to work on. And that is the hustle stage, right? It's like, this is you trying to make something of yourself and to invest your time into it.
Yep.
Because if you don't have money, the only other thing you have is time.
Yep.
And they both work concurrently. And so in terms of balancing your passions with the hustle, I think the way that I interpret that is, if you're passionate about something, you're always going to be doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so and when you're working on it so hard, eventually it'll start consuming you. You'll reach a point where you're like, you know what, is this really worth it?
Yeah.
And to me, that's where the hustle kicks in.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's like, you know what, I was about to quit, but there's something about this thing that I'm pursuing that makes me really want to keep going. I know right now is a hard time, but if I keep working on this thing for the next week, I'll get over that hump. And that's the hustle. That's where you really need to put in the elbow grease, and that's where you really need to push yourself. The reason why I can say that is this past week, you and I didn't really talk about this, but working on all the things that you and I are working on, not together, but just personally, there comes a point where you're just like, your body and your mind just tells you it's time to relax. You need to relax. Like, we're working 9 to 5. We come out, we're doing unpacking design. We're doing all these other things. Like, I'm starting a leather design and a retail company right now. Working on my blog. And then writing the book that I finished recently. It's just like, all of these things started to slowly creep on me. And eventually, it got to a point where my body and my mind were just like, I can't do it anymore.
Sure.
And instead of stopping, what I did was I took a step back and I said, you know what? I really still want to work on these things. But I know if I keep working on them at the level that I'm at right now, the quality is going to start depleting. And so the hustle was still there, but I needed to reassess how I would accomplish all of my tasks. And instead of focusing on them, I decided to take a break from a lot of them and to focus on the things that were less physical and less mental, things that I can do without thinking about it. And that's what I've been doing for the past couple of days. So when you talk about balancing passion with hustle, I think they work concurrently. Yeah. I think the hustle part needs to be, that's the one that needs to be balanced, and it's based on the person.
Yeah.
Some people reach a point at the gym where they're like, I can't lift this anymore.
Right.
And those are the people that stop and they're like, whatever, I give up. And then there are the people at the gym that's like, you know what? It hurts, but I'm going to make that last rep. I'm going to make that last push. I'm going to make that last sprint at the end of my run. I don't care how much it hurts. I'm going to make that sprint and I'm going to finish this 5K strong or whatever it is. And I think that's hustle. That moment of wanting to give up but pushing to the end, that's the hustle part.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that the tough part for somebody to kind of negotiate around is, like you said, there's only so much time in the day. And while it's all about choice, like at some point you have to make the choice to pursue the passion at the level that, like, for example, if you were going to pursue your passion every day, but only do it for half an hour or an hour, the person, and you're the one person, and there's another person who's doing it for same, you know, skill set, same everything, but they're doing it for 4 or 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. The person with 4 or 5 hours is going to make much more progress over the course of a couple months than the person who's only doing it 1 hour, half an hour every day. Maybe not even that often. And then I think the thing that helps me is recognizing that that person a couple months from now, which one do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you want to be there? Mm-hmm. Because if you are the person who is casually applying yourself to your passion, but you're only doing it for half an hour or so every day or every so often, but you're happy with the things that you choose to spend your time on otherwise, like, are you still going to be happy with the results if you're not as far ahead as you would have been if you had spent all of your time on the one thing?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe to simplify it, like, can you imagine yourself a year from now and where you kind of want to be, and can you sort of retroactively figure out like what that means that you're going to have to give up on, and are you okay with giving up on some of that stuff? I think a lot of people probably aren't. And I think a lot of people, one of the examples that he's been bringing up, Gary's been bringing up recently in a lot of his content is like, you know, why are you watching Netflix, or why are you, you know, watching all of these shows and even just watching a whole bunch of YouTube videos, or basically pursuing all these other things while you're not working on your passion. Like, if you're really passionate about it and you want to go somewhere, why aren't you working on it?
Yeah.
I think the balance, though, becomes how much is too much?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're... And that's an individual case-by-case basis. Like, I can't answer that. I don't think you can answer that. It's more like a feel of the harmony in your own life. How are you... Like, at the end of the day, what are you willing to live with in the choices that you've made?
Mm-hmm.
There are the little choices, And then there's the results that happen over the course of time. So like you were saying with your gym example, the person who does put in those extra reps is going to be able to, you know, maybe run a marathon, mm-hmm. or, you know, enter a weightlifting competition, or just mm-hmm. be a healthier person. The person who kind of goes to the gym, sort of, but like doesn't really spend the time and effort into helping their bodies maintain themselves, mm-hmm. they might be okay, and they're at least putting in some effort, but they're not going to be at the same level at all that the other person who's putting the effort in mm-hmm. is at. And are you okay with being that version of yourself later that isn't running a marathon or isn't, you know, able to pursue certain things? Mm-hmm. And I think that, for me at least, is the part where Crush It breaks down a little bit, and it's maybe sometimes pushed me a little bit too hard to yeah. pursue my passions. But it is something that I do question about the book a little bit. Like mm-hmm. it has influenced people in a way where, yeah, just go, and mm-hmm. don't worry about the repercussions, yeah. like to some degree. I think some of his later work sort of retroactively clarifies some of his issues.
Yeah.
But that is the one kind of criticism I would have of this book, is that if you just read this verbatim and mm-hmm. were just like, yeah, okay, I'll listen to exactly what Gary Vaynerchuk says, and yeah. I'm going to hustle my ass off, and I'm going to, you know, work until I, you know, fall over. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the overall intent, but I think that that is a cautionary tale of where this book might lead you.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do think that is something I've been dealing with recently is habits versus motivation mm-hmm. in general. And I think that might be a way for people to take, you know, take these habits or these things that you are learning from a book like Crush It and to sort of pursue things in a way that might be a little bit healthier than what Crush It is potentially implying. Mm-hmm. If you think about habits versus the motivation that you might have for them, for a given task, if you create a habit over time, you're more likely to just maintain that habit by, let's say it's going to the gym. If you decide that you're going to go on 2 or 3 days each week, and you're going to do that every week, and you do that for a couple months, at some point you're just, it's almost like it's on autopilot. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's not even an issue anymore, versus the motivation to, like, okay, I got to tell myself, am I going to the gym today? I don't know if I'm going to the gym today. Mm-hmm. Maybe, am I going to the gym tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to do that. You know, like, you start, your mind starts like telling yourself, like, are you supposed to do this right now? Well, maybe I can get away with not doing it. For me, that's something that's actually helped in terms of the projects that I pursue now, and in terms of the ways that I look at my passion and my hustle, mm-hmm. is that I'm putting more energy into defining very specific habits for myself that I don't need as much motivation for. I just mm-hmm. know that they are, at the end of the day, I know that this future Mike, I want him to look this way, or I want him to behave this way or be this way, or yeah. have these certain things done. And it's always a work in progress, but I feel like that might be a healthier way to look at some of the ideals of Crush It versus, I'm just really worried that while I am suggesting that people read this book and really take it in, that there is, you know, the possibility that you're going to look at this and be like, oh, well, that means that I have to spend like 18 hours a day working on my passion. Mm-hmm. That's not really what I think the book is about. But overall, I think that the book is an important text as a starting point that has really helped me kind of almost realize that I had an entrepreneurial like interest, and mm-hmm. that I was curious about business mm-hmm. and pursuing things, not just in a way that would help me creatively, but that I would be giving back to the world and also, you know, leveraging things in my life and in the way that I create those things to help me build something bigger, build yeah. something maybe even more important than what I had been doing before.
Yeah.
And I think without this book, I'd be on a very different path.
Yeah. Well, I think to wrap this up, why don't you give us a quick example of how this book has influenced and inspired the way that you're working on your personal projects now in terms of staying true and honest to who you are.
Sure.
And then the hustle and drive. What's motivating you today? And how are you planning to use everything you've learned from Gary Vaynerchuk?
So I think the big one is that this is the reason why I started blogging. Mm-hmm. I think this is, I had not even really considered being an influencer or whatever you want to call it, teaching people in that way. This is the book that, even if I didn't call it a blog or I didn't call it a medium before, this is the thing that kind of put that in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like that I want to put stuff out in the world, and I want to be somebody who is not like necessarily a talking head all the time, but somebody who cares about people, who wants to help others,
mm-hmm.
But do it probably on the internet in a way that is accessible to people.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of my own work and my own projects, this has been a motivator to reassess maybe how I was interacting with people,
mm-hmm.
and trying to be, not that I wasn't personable before, but that I try to put myself out there more and ask more questions to people and be very curious about what they're dealing with. I think before it was a very internal thing, like, what am I dealing with and what am I having problems with? I'm asking a lot more questions to people. I'm mm-hmm. trying to create dialogues with people in a way to understand what is it that they are either interested in or having problems with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, the asking questions is what almost helps me create solutions to those problems without having to, I think my life would look very different if I didn't ask questions,
mm-hmm.
and if I just did whatever I felt like doing and kind of pursued things from a very insular place. By taking down those walls, and I'm a very introverted person by nature, so
yeah,
by putting myself out there a little bit more, putting my ideas out there and getting responses back, I feel like that has helped me almost in some ways change not what I was passionate about, but how I went about pursuing my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I had not gotten feedback from things or talked to people more about what I was interested in, I wouldn't have gotten, honestly, the more positive results that I'm getting now. I feel like by putting yourself out there, even though it might be scary, and putting the effort behind that and caring about the person on the other end of that, that is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the most important lessons I've learned in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Well, I think that's a really good point to end this episode on. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.